shore. Let me dig that jive once more, boy.
Cats and Kittens. Dig the hottest and the coolest music around on Swing Time every Monday afternoon, 2 p.m. till 4. The big bands, the small groups, and new swing music. Hear it all on Swing Time, Monday, 2 till 4, the only swing on this radio thing.
Jim Jab Jump is solid jive.
Makes you 9 foot tall when you're 4 foot five.
Hi, I'm Phil Mack, the host of a program on WHFR called Thematic. It's on every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. until noon. I look at the subjects I pick from as many angles as I can by playing the largest variety of music, and each set ends with an instrumental. Each program also includes the selection of a Thematic Hall of Fame member. So if you're serious about music but occasionally like to hear a silly song, enjoy a variety of styles, have great respect for instrumentals, choose not to be an algorithm but suffer from OCD when it comes to music, my show is for you. It's unique and different. Once again, the program is Thematic, and it's on every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. until noon. And I'm the host, Phil Mack, organizing music for you, one song at a time.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
HFR Dearborn, the station making waves. This is Lynn, your host of Impact, and we are here every month on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 1 until 2, bringing you individuals and groups of people making a positive difference in the community. And man, do we have a full house today, and it's all good. I will, before we get started with our guest today, advise you that this is any views expressed on Impact today are not necessarily the views of the Impact Show, nor WHFR, nor Henry Ford Community College. And with that, I welcome our guest today, beginning with Alan Hevner. And Alan is the brain behind No Child Left Inside. Not behind, inside. Alan, tell us a little bit about the program.
Well, the Left Behind and Left Inside is kind of a... good afternoon, by the way. Thank you for having us here. The No Child Left Behind was a concept, is a concept that has a lot of, you know, debate about which way to go. The No Child Left Inside came out of that because kids don't know how to be outside anymore. They, you know, they're playing with their video games and stuff like that. They don't know how to be outside. And I've been in love with the outdoors since I've been 3 years old, walking down the Grand Canyon. I still remember that first experience going down the Grand Canyon. And I've been in love ever since then. And, you know, for years and years, I thought, why is there less and less kids and adults outside? What's going on? I'm in love. I'm outside all the time. I don't care if it's raining, snowing, whatever. I'm outside. And so, you know, I come to find out there's a lot of other people that feel the same way I do, but there didn't seem to be any forward motion. How do we get kids outside? What do we do? So that's kind of the birth of a few people that are scattered around the country now. Myself sat down and said, let's get going with this. And mm-hmm. We didn't originate it, but we're promoting a concept that's really strongly believed all over the country.
Right. And you're in this area doing the promotion of
yes,
the Child
yes,
Left
uh-huh.
Inside. Tell us where you're working from.
We like to use the state parks and the metro parks and the county parks as a backdrop. But the really amazing thing is that you don't have to go to a park to enjoy the outdoors. And this is probably one of the biggest things I've learned in the last few years since we've been doing this. You can go out your back door. I was out last night out behind my house, and the stars were out, and I heard the sounds of the night sounds, and I wasn't in a park. I was behind my house. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to go to a park to learn about the outdoors. You can go outside and just go for a walk. You know, go for a walk in the woods. Now, some people say, oh, dear, we're afraid to be outside. Well, you can decide when you're outside. You don't have to go out in the middle of the night, but it's just being out there.
Right, right.
The star of the show in my life, the star of my everyday inspiration is what I feel when I walk through that door, right through that window there, right through the door here at the college. There is a wonderful world called the outdoors.
Mm-hmm. And that was one amazing moon last night.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yes, right.
Yeah, it was. If you didn't see it, it was absolutely enormous. So we must still be in the phase where it's closer to Earth.
Right.
And it was a perfect kind of a golden crescent.
Yep.
It was amazing. That's one of those things that I just took a look at. And you know, and if you're playing with your iPod and what have you inside, you missed all that.
Well, you know, there's a balance. And, you know, people, we've had some people that have heard us speak about this. And there's a program that's been started throughout some of the school systems. It's called Turn Off TV. And so you take a week and you agree to turn off your TVs and keep them shut off and to be totally in tune with other things besides your TV. And some families that do this, they actually continue this on for a longer time. And so the TV, I'm not against TV, but there's a balance there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in front of your TV all the time, you're not going to ever get out there.
Right. Yeah, and you will miss a lot.
Yes, right.
Okay, and I'd like to introduce everybody else, too, and then we're definitely going to talk a lot more about No Child Left Inside. Kathy Martin comes to us from the Wilderness Wellness Program. Kathy, tell us a little bit about your program and working with the school system, and who's your audience?
My audience are middle school children in Farmington Hills Schools. I work with Todd Lippa, who's the director of the after-school program. The program started in 1996, and he has had 10,500 students come through his program. A year and a half ago, I came on board, and I'm their outdoor education program coordinator. And Todd's been very instrumental, along with Alan Hebner, in making sure that kids are having outdoor experiences.
Mm-hmm. 10,000.
10,500 children have come through his program,
That's
yes.
That's amazing.
It's incredible, yes.
Amazing. And what sort of background do the kids have when they get into the program? I'm sure it varies, but do you have any kids who pretty much are indoors, couch potato types? And
just the very population of kids, their nature is to be indoors. And what I've liked about Todd's program is he unplugs them from electronics. These kids are outdoors a couple hours a day. And then we've done the spin-off of the Outdoor Education Wilderness Wellness Program that they get to participate in after school. And then with their summer camp this year, we did a Lewis and Clark expedition for kids. It's a piloted for a population of kids summer enrichment program that mm-hmm. they've taken part of. And what I've been really excited about, and I shared this with Alan just last week, Todd had the opportunity to get some tickets to the Tiger game.
Okay.
And he came to the Nature Center where we were with the kids, and it asked the kids, do you guys want to participate in the nature program here, Lewis and Clark expedition, or would you rather go to the Tiger game? The seven kids that were sitting at the circle at the time, six of them said, no, we're going to stay with the program. And these are kids that I don't know that they would have had the opportunity mm-hmm. to go to a Tigers game.
Right.
So we were just all pleasantly surprised that these were kids in 91 degree weather, because it's been quite warm for the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Would rather be outside hiking the trails, building a wigwam, sketching nature as they've seen it, interacting, team building with one another, than go to a Tigers game.
That's, yeah, that's all. I'm almost speechless with that. Explain the Lewis and Clark program in a little more detail.
It was created by my teammate Paul Osberger. Had decided that he'd like to do something with Lewis and Clark, and so we put together a program together. So it has been three sessions, 2 weeks long, where these kids are learning about mapping and compassing, wigwam building, anything that Lewis and Clark did. Where they're watching DVDs. Ron Johnson's also a part of this. He's a fifth grade school teacher at Gill Elementary in Farmington Hills. So the kids are watching a DVD on Lewis and Clark, and then we're going through the outdoor experience with them. What I've learned is it was a 4,000-mile trek to the Pacific.
Right, right.
For these people. And the various cast members were Lewis and Clark, and I was Sacagawea.
Okay.
Yes.
Were costumes involved, too?
No costumes yet. It could happen, though. Next year, costumes could be involved.
I want to interrupt on that. When I went to school, I didn't like school. I'd rather be outside. I did not like school. And I remember going to school, and I remember the Lewis and Clark expedition. And it, because it was in school, wrapped in the body of school, I didn't want to learn about it. I am so excited about this. Now I'm going back. I'm going to learn about the Lewis and Clark expedition because these guys are living it. If that would have happened back then, it's called experiential learning. Mm-hmm. If we would have been able to, the school system back then, you couldn't be outside. If you're outside, you were playing. If you're inside, only time you could learn. If I had learned the Lewis and Clark expedition, it would still be alive in my mind now. So I won't say how many years later I'm going back. I'm learning through this experience, and there's other adults and parents and teachers. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got to go back and relive that experience. Now these kids are actually living it. They're going through the steps of the Lewis and Clark expedition.
You're right, and after they walk through it and touch and do different things, that is going to be with them for the rest of their lives, definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to share something with you from a counseling perspective. You noticed the moon last night.
Yes.
Richard Louv wrote a book, Last Child in the Woods. Unfortunately for a lot of us, we don't notice the moon at night. We don't notice a lot of things outside. We're kind of like sleepwalking. And that's where I've always been impressed with counseling outdoors. The fact that we develop a set of eyes for what's happening around us. Richard Louv talks about being outdoors is the only time all five of our senses are engaged at the same time. Is that not remarkable?
Yeah. I never thought about it that way, too. Yeah, I was just, leaving work, and I was headed in the right direction, and I stopped the car and just sat there and looked at it for a moment.
Can I tell you what happened for me? It was 2 weeks ago. One of my friends called. It was a full moon, and I'm right by the Huron River. She said, have you ever been out on the river at night? I said, I have not. She said, get your bathing suit on. We're going out. So we got on the water at 11 o'clock at night in a full moon and paddled until 1:30 in the morning and came back in a mist on the Huron River with a full moon. I won't forget it for my entire life.
Right, right.
I'm a better person because of it. I'm a better counselor. I think I'm healthier because of the experience. Mm-hmm. I encourage anyone to do it.
And Peter, we haven't heard from you yet. Peter Rudofsky, and tell us about working with some of the challenged kids.
It's a pleasure working with them. I mean, it's amazing to see the difference from working with kids that, you know, have special needs or visually impaired. It's amazing that, you know, a lot of them have never been on a boat before, have never done anything outside, so it's amazing to work with them. They get a chance to, you have to talk them through it. You have to tell them what they're seeing. They have to use their senses. It's amazing to have the kids actually visualize, because we do imaginary canoe trips, you know, so you want kids to actually imagine it, because they can, if they can't see, you want them to imagine what they're seeing. So it's amazing how, you know, using their hearing and actually hearing the boat glide on the water, glide on the, like, you know, going from land to water, that sound is just remarkable.
But they're actually in the canoes.
Yep, they're in the canoes.
Okay. And then what about the hearing challenged? You're working with those kids too.
Yep, we basically just, we get to show them all the different things outside and just kind of help them develop what they could be hearing by showing them, like the birds and like everything around them. It's, there's different things you can do. It's amazing how kids with, you know, disabilities, how we can help them. And it's a pleasure doing it.
The broader definition of special needs includes all kinds of different things. And, and, you know, my passion for No Child Left Inside is very alive. But, you know, you can't conquer the world all at once. But if I'm to pick out a special group of people, it would be some of these kids that we're working with, that I've seen with Kathy. Some of the kids who either are challenged because they've never been outdoors, they've been living where it's not safe to be outdoors. But in this case, where the special needs, where the child either is special need physically or mentally. And the commonality of the outdoors is it people, like Kathy said, you're better because of it. When you're out there, you're better because of it, no matter where you come from in life. You know, it's like, you know, the star of the show is simply the outdoors. When I'm working with different people, different schools, special needs, churches, you know, the star of the show, we don't have to invent all these things to get them outside. We just say, get them out there. Then they will discover this. I've never had a kid come back yet after we took them on a walk in the woods at Kensington, or if we were in one of the state parks and went on a canoe trip or whatever. When they come back, wow, this is cool. It's, or camping even. Now, that's another story. Getting people to sleep on the ground, you know, is a challenge. But once they right, I see that. not sure about that. Maybe the air mattress under you. But, you know, the awesomeness of sleeping in a tent, whether you're on an air mattress or not, and hearing the sounds. You know, because we are so used to hearing all the time, sometimes you have to stop and think, what would it be like if we didn't hear these things? We were just talking about the deaf. You know, we take it for granted. The same with sight. What if we couldn't see? So through these people that are coming across our paths in this quest to get everybody outside, we realize it makes us appreciate more what we have. Mm-hmm. And then when we're outside, then, of course, that mm-hmm. enhances it.
And speaking of the outdoors, from being from the Milford area, having the pleasure to go work at Farmington Hills, they have some wonderful parks, Heritage Park, Shiawassee Park, woods, water, trails. They have it all there. They have creeks that run behind some of the centers that the kids are at for the after-school program that we've been fortunate to drag kayaks and canoes down into. The parents have said, I didn't know there was water back here. You have parents that are picking up kids that came into the program with white tennis shoes and dressed to the nines that come out muddied and soaking wet. And guess what? Their parents don't care. Mm-hmm. We're very pleased as to how we've been able to open up the outdoor experience to kids in Farmington Hills because of Todd's and Alan's thinking outside of the box
right.
mentality.
Right.
And
right.
and what's happening with that is it's becoming a pilot. There's a lot of other people and organizations, school systems that are looking at what's happening here because they're hearing about this. The media has been very generous about talking about what's going on there. So, you know, what's going on in Farmington could go on in, you know, northern Michigan. It could go on in Texas. It could go on any place. Mm-hmm. The outdoors is every place. So it's so cool. That's why I get so enthused about it. You can be in downtown Detroit
yes.
and go along the Detroit River, and you sense that same feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It's free.
Yeah, that too.
It's free.
Not,
yeah.
Staycation.
Did it cost you anything to look at the moon last night? It did not.
Not a thing.
Not a thing.
And I regularly drive through Hines Park, and it's my... my time to just kind of get my whole head together. I mean, it's a relaxing drive, unless I had somebody doing 30 in front of me yesterday. Not so relaxing, but it's a good way to you feel like you're almost up north at times, mm-hmm. especially now when the leaves are all full and you can't see the houses and the other streets and what have you, and you're just driving through this wonderful, wonderful trail.
You'll be pleased to know Richard Louvre would put you in that category of people that has developed an eighth intelligence.
Okay.
You have, pick up the book, Last Child in the Woods, and read about it.
Okay.
And know that, tell me, who gave you your first outdoor experience? What was your first memory of the outdoors?
Wow. My parents. I remember being very young and being dragged on a sled. You know, my dad was taking me, and it was his sled. From when he was a little kid, mm-hmm. and it had this great little steering mechanism, and he would carry, drag me around the yard, and then there was a nearby park that had great hills, and we would toboggan and had the saucer going down the hills. So I remember all that, yeah.
And Alan talked about the Grand Canyon, and Peter, what was your experience, first memory of the outdoors?
It was probably going sledding. A better house up north, so
mm-hmm.
Petoskey, Michigan.
So. I want to address that because that's probably, if nothing else has heard about that, is what we're just talking about now. I have a big mouth, so mm-hmm. I talk about this to a lot of different groups and people, anywhere from schools to churches to corporate groups. And you can take the president of a big corporation, which I did just last week. I said, what is your, because he didn't understand. He said, I don't understand what this is about. You know, we're too busy. We can't get outside. We got a life to live. And I said, What was your first experience? You can do that with everybody, 90 years old, 80, 70. How long did it take you guys here to think? It's right there. Minutes they associate that with that, all of a sudden they get it. They understand what we're talking about. Maybe that's been maimed since, and maybe they had a bad experience riding a horse. Maybe they had a frightful fear in a tent, sleeping overnight. Maybe they got wet. Maybe they dipped over in a canoe and got scared of the water. But before all that bad stuff happened, there was still that initial good experience. Mm-hmm. And that'd stay with you your whole life, no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm. Now you made me think of something else. I was 4,
mm-hmm. See?
And I was on a magazine cover. Oh, yes. They put me on a horse, and I'm crying like crazy because I'm terrified because I'm up so high.
Yeah.
But that was my first experience on a horse, and I look back now fondly.
Well, from a counseling perspective, looking at your face,
mm-hmm.
I've seen you do nothing but your eyes have been smiling and your mouth has been smiling as you talk about the outdoor experience.
Definitely.
And that says it all, doesn't mm-hmm. it? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's it right there. I mean, there. People may have had a bad experience with a specific thing outside, but that doesn't mean they're going to stay inside. Well, I shouldn't say that. There are some bad experiences, such as somebody, you know, happening at night that maybe somebody was knocked over or something. That is bad. But, you know, that's where Kathy is excited. Kathy's working with me because, you know, there's people out there who have something has happened with them.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, getting outdoors instead of the four walls of a counseling mm-hmm. office, a lot of times she will take somebody on a kayak or in a canoe and get them outside, and all of a sudden they loosen up and start talking more. So the outdoors can be a therapy, mm-hmm. healing thing too.
Could you tell us a story without revealing anything you're not supposed to?
Certainly I can. I had a young man that I was working with. He had a pervasive developmental disorder, and he was tactically defensive.
Okay.
And I put him in a tandem kayak with his mother in a kayak behind us, and
okay.
we went down the waterway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went into the shrubs, which were really a bother for him because spiders were dropping into the boat. That was a problem for me also.
Okay.
Wasn't just him. The difference between him and I was that I knew how to emotionally regulate. He did not. And he had a meltdown, and he stood up, and the kayak flipped, and we were in the water, which was shallow, and we were both in jackets. And it took him about 45 minutes to get calm. And his mother was right around the bend in shock as to what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we got him calmed, and he went onto the shore, and he would never do this again. And that was on a Saturday. On a Wednesday, I got a phone call. He said, I'd like to try that again with you. And we were back in the kayak the following Saturday and had a very nice experience. And so he had a breakthrough within a week period. He had emotionally regulated. He found out that the river was a safe place to be. And guess what? His mother got to experience it all. Yes.
And just approximately how old was this person?
He was 11.
Okay. So she had been dealing with a lot of issues for a lot of years.
Yes. He's an Asperger.
Okay.
Yes. And that experience, I will tell you from a counseling perspective, it opened a door within that week period to do some really wonderful therapy with him.
Right.
And it opened a door for his mother to see what he was capable of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did he go back?
Absolutely he went back. Yes.
Okay.
And we were dry when we came out of the river the second time.
You are listening to Impact on WHFR Dearborn, and with us today we have Alan Hevner, Kathy Martin, and Peter Rudofsky from various branches of No Child Left Inside, and the goal is to get the kids of all ages outside. Alan, tell us the story of the 96-year-old kid you got put into the canoe.
My mom is still alive. My mom has taught me the love of the outdoors. Mom and Dad, for their honeymoon, they drove a new car to California, and they rode their bikes back from California to Detroit. Not
wow.
motorcycles, bikes.
Yeah.
This was
bicycles.
Back in the early 40s. Now, not until the last 4 or 5 years, still talking to Mom, who's, by the way, her mind is very clear and sharp. We keep saying we want to get on tape and video her life because she was there when there was horse and buggy. But the thing that happened, she did not, before she got married, really loved the outdoors that much. She did not even ever ridden a bicycle.
Didn't know it, probably.
Didn't know it. She yeah. didn't know. But it was because of my dad's love, which I must have inherited for the outdoors, because he loved to camp and bicycle and hike and everything. She, at the point of getting married, learned how to love the outdoors. So now, you know, when she's 96 years old, Kathy, a few few months ago now, was able to actually get her to get back in the canoe. Now, her knees are bad. She's having a hard time, but she got in the canoe. And the joy in her face, you know, it was a smile that came from years and years of experience. She thought she was past that. Oh. She thought she couldn't be outside or get in the canoe or go for a walk. Well, that opened my eyes. What about these senior centers out there? No child of any age. We had to change our phrase now because of any age. We can go to a senior center now and we can walk in there, and I can tell you without a doubt, we can get on their bus, we can ride to them, which we do, to a local park. If they can't walk, we'll open the windows of the bus. If they can, we'll get them and let them get out and to see the discovery, maybe for the first time in their lives, of this joy, of this powerful thing called the outdoors, mm-hmm. on their face. You know, that's why I'm on this earth, I think, is to share that love that I have. I've never been married, don't have kids of my own, but my family is those tens of thousands of kids out there. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I still get the biggest thrill. This morning, we were working a group of blind kids from visually impaired, I can't think of the name of the school in Detroit, they came out for an experience in the park. And each one of those kids had to reach out and touch me. They heard this is Mr. Okay. You know, this is Mr. Hefner, he's our teacher. Excuse me. And so they were going to experience the outdoors, you know, by being outside. And those kids individually wanted to touch me, mm-hmm. and wanting to, because they couldn't see me, they wanted to touch, you know. Mm-hmm. Awesome thing. Right. Now they're going to come back, they're going to associate that me in the touching and the outdoors, and that will stick to within the rest of their lives.
I'll always remember that, right.
And hopefully that will begin their pathway down the road of being outside.
And from a special needs perspective, I wanted to tie this in. We're so remarkably made that where we have a deficit, we have the other senses that pick up. So where they can't see, they're hypersensitive to touch. Mm-hmm. And that's just how we're made.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
All right. We're going to take a little break for a little bit of music and continue with Regina Carter and the trip down the Niger. Thank you. All right, and we are back. You're listening to Impact, and we have really, really, this has been such a fun show today. We have three really special people in the studio with me, Ellen Hevner and Kathy Martin and Peter Rudofsky, and everybody's talking about basically getting our kids out from in front of the television screens and the iPads and get them onto a bicycle, you know? It's you know, they don't need to be driven every place. And get them on a bicycle, get them in a canoe, get them outside, let them look at the moon, you know? That can't be all bad. What I wanted to do right at this point is to give you an update on a couple things. And let's see, let's do this in order here. A few months ago, you may have remembered, Jennifer Wakenall came in with her mom, and they visited Impact. They told us about Turner Syndrome and how she is educating people about Turner Syndrome through her Turner Town project, which was a series of dollhouses and things that tell the story of a person who's born with Turner Syndrome and how that person lives her life. Her work was nominated for a CLASSY, and CLASSY Awards are the largest philanthropic awards ceremony in the country. Celebrates the greatest charitable achievements by nonprofits, socially conscious businesses, and individuals worldwide. In 2011, nearly 2,000 organizations and volunteers were nominated for CLASSY Awards. Their collective efforts impacted the lives of more than 200 million people in 71 countries worldwide. She didn't win, but Jennifer said it was an honor to be nominated, and that's the truth. And if you go to the CLASSY site, which I'll give you in a sec, you can find out all about her CLASSY experience. Jennifer's campaign for Turner Syndrome and Nonverbal Learning Disabilities was nominated for the CLASSY and also Volunteer of the Year and College Student of the Year categories. The link to the project, this is long, is www.stayclassy.org/stories/the-turner-town-project. That's enough, and that'll enable you to get there. It's like a three-line long site. But you can also just look at the CLASSY Awards, and you'll be able to go into Jennifer's work, which was so exciting. She's meeting new families impacted by Turner Syndrome and adding new scenes and houses to the exhibit. And she's going to start displaying again in the fall. Last I knew, it was at U of M. And she said that suggestions are always welcome, so far as sites for the Turner Town. Washtenaw Community College is hosting Ride for Kids, and Ride for Kids has been on Impact for the last couple years. They are our guests next month, and it'll be 2 days after the ride, which is, I'm sure, going to be another one of those fantastic events. Last year, we had 166 motorcycles and raised $64,000 in 1 day for pediatric brain tumors, and gosh, that's all good. The focus is to increase public awareness again, provide education and emotional support for children and their families. That's what the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation is all about. Ride for Kids supports the foundation with a 50-mile fundraising ride. And Alan, this time we're talking about motorcycles and not bicycles. The event is a duo ride, which includes both on- and off-road trails. All of the money raised from the event goes to the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. About 50 to 80 volunteers from the community help make Ride for Kids possible. All volunteers need to attend a training session either on Thursday, August 23rd, or Saturday, August 25th. The ride itself is Sunday, August 26th. For more information, I do have contact information. You want to find more information about the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, or if you'd like to be one of those volunteers, please call Jean Hunt, and her telephone number is 734-981-4814. And the last item I wanted to mention to you comes, it's kind of close to my heart. This is about the American Cancer Society. And almost everyone has been touched by cancer, either through their own personal battle or through someone they love. We relay to remember and honor those who have battled cancer, to help support those who are currently battling, and to eventually find a cure for all types of cancer. Every day, the American Cancer Society is helping us stay well by preventing or finding it at its earliest, most treatable stages. And the Relay for Life that I'm kind of interested in is the same weekend as the Ride for Kids, and it runs Saturday 9 until 9 in Milan. And my nephew, Zach, is the one who organized this after he watched his grandfather, my father-in-law, his uncle, my husband, and his mother, my sister-in-law, lose their cancer battles. And right now the whole family is just way behind another uncle, another brother-in-law who's fighting, and he's going to be there and walk. So if you'd like to join us, or if you'd just like more information, check out www.relayforlife.org and look for the Milan, Michigan. We are the walkout team, and maybe you can join us on that Sunday morning. And we're back here again with the people who are actually in the studio for this edition of Impact. And we talked off air a little bit about all the ways that people can contact us. So if you have websites, if you have emails, if you have telephone numbers you'd like to share, this would be a good time to do that.
I am very passionate about what I believe, so I carry a cell phone with me, and it's on until I go to bed at night. It's on back on in the morning when I get up, and I take calls personally. I would be glad to have anybody call me directly. My cell phone is 248-561-8274, and that's my cell phone. I'm very happy to talk about this. You just have to shut me off when I've said enough, because I'm very passionate about it.
And that's Alan talking about No Child Left Inside. Kathy?
And I can be contacted through Samaritan Counseling Center of Southeastern Michigan or the City of Farmington Hills. Either place will put somebody in touch with me.
Okay, fantastic. Peter?
If anyone ever needs anything, it's peter@hebnercanoe.com.
Okay.
You guys can come talk to me about anything, about any kind of groups. I'm available. I'm an Eagle Scout, love to help out. So if anyone has any, needs any help planning an event,
mm-hmm.
I'm here.
Oh.
Just let me know.
Okay, now we need to divert just a little. I did not know that fun mm-hmm. fact about you. What was your project?
My project was I restored a hay wagon at Byers Farm. It's in Commerce. It's an old. It's like Commerce Township owns.
Okay.
The property was a farm donated. It's many years old. And I took a old hay wagon, which was actually a baggage cart from the old Detroit Depot.
Okay.
And fully restored it. Took the metal, rebent it. It was this horrible mess we started with. And basically, I just reconstructed it, and it looks like a masterpiece. It's just beautiful. It's like,
and he's humble.
Yep, and it works. I mean, you could pull it. You can do hay rides. It's great for photography.
Fantastic.
It's just a piece of history that I wanted to be a part of. So.
And that's how it's being used now for hay rides and that sort of
yep,
thing.
Yep, and it's just there to display like what the history was and what we had back then. So it's great to do
that's,
that.
That's really exciting. How did you go back and find out what it looked like originally to restore it?
Did a lot of research, just looked up like hay wagon and like baggage cart, and it was amazing because I thought it was a hay wagon at first because
okay.
it was a farm.
Okay.
And then I kept on doing research throughout Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and I found pictures of it at the Detroit Depot. And
wow.
I was like, wow, what are they using a hay wagon there? I did more research and found the baggage carts that they used to put baggage on.
On the
train. Off the train, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's how it all happened, so I was shocked. At the end, I found out it was a baggage cart. When I first started, I thought it was
right.
a hay wagon.
Okay,
so.
But it's a hay wagon now.
Yeah, it's a hay wagon now, yeah.
This is news to me. This is at Byers Farm, then?
Yep, Byers Farm.
Which is in
Commerce Township,
wow.
so it's owned by Commerce Township
okay.
now.
Okay,
so.
All right. How did you even think to do that?
I stopped by there to feed the ducks one day.
Okay.
That's like a big duck feeding place, and just saw, asked if they had any kind of projects they needed done, and walked through, and they didn't mention that, and I saw that. I'm like, wow, that'd be kind of something unique. You always hear about someone doing, some community project
mm-hmm.
that everyone
right.
Knows, like collecting, cans and stuff, but
right.
this is something unique that not a lot of people get a chance to do, so.
Oh, congratulations
yeah,
on that.
Thanks,
yeah.
appreciate it.
All right. Okay, and what other projects should we talk about? What else do we want to share with the listeners?
I'm thinking of, people are sitting here and thinking, well, how do I get outside? What do I do? Well, my mission in life is to start a information center that would tell people all the things that they could do outside. People-powered sports, canoeing, kayaking, bicycling, hiking, all within the Southeast Michigan area. I've been talking to the Metro Parks, the state parks, and also Lincoln County Parks, I'm sorry. And they're very much excited about this. So we're hoping to get a resource where people could go to a website or go to a phone number and find out what's going on in this area this weekend, what type of things. There's a canoe race this weekend, for example, in Kensington Park.
Oh.
It's going to be sponsored by the Metro Parks. And last weekend was this Byers Farm. There was an art Council, the Huron Art Council, had a big fair there. There's so many things going on, so my goal is to get an information resource so people can find out where these things are. And it's all about getting outside.
Right.
You know, once again, you don't have to go outside to do any particular thing. The star of the show is the outdoors wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you can just think about this, the next time you walk outside your door, even at night, I think one of the fears people have is once the sun is down, once it's set. And by the way, one of the neatest things to do is to go for a walk, sunset or sunrise in the morning, just to go out and walk, be there when the sun is coming up. I don't mean driving your car to work. I don't mean, you know, sitting inside. I mean going out there and experiencing the five senses.
Right.
It is the most awesome thing to
right.
watch that happen.
And if you're fortunate enough to have a vehicle like I do, take the back roads. Keep yourself in Michigan. I'm fresh from a vacation in Petoskey, where we kayaked, we canoed, we swam, we fished, we tented outside. You don't need to leave Oakland County. You don't need to leave Michigan to have just an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm.
To Quamenham Falls. Have those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Get yourself outdoors. Stay in Michigan doing it.
This is such a rich state,
it
too.
Really is. We're really yeah. fortunate. I don't know, what are the inland waterways that we have in Michigan? I mean, in Oakland County, Allen, how many of them are there?
Well, we have what's called the Six Rivers Conservancy, which I'm on their board, and their basic mission is to go to the six main rivers in southeast Michigan, the Huron, the Shiawassee, the Flint, there's six of them, the Rouge River, and be the gatekeeper, not the gatekeeper, be the upkeep of these rivers to make sure they stay the way they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a movement to keep these rivers and travel them, canoe on them. There's the Six Rivers Conservancy now is canoeing a different river each week during the summer, letting people get out there and see.
Wow.
And by the way, being on Michigan rivers is awesome. I mean, just go on the website and look up, you know, rivers of Michigan or canoe or kayaks or anything. There's a ton of rivers that people don't know, some of them in your own backyard.
How much, if I can phrase this correctly, how much water do you need for a canoe? It doesn't have to be a huge river, does it? Or
the funny thing is that people think of a rudder and everything. Well, no, about an inch of water is all it takes
really?
to float a canoe. Now,
okay.
even a kayak lasts, by the way.
Okay.
Kayaks, I love to kayak because I'm by myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You feel more lonely if you're in a canoe and there's nobody in the front. But if you're in a kayak, you don't think about that. So you have a wonderful time, and it's a lot of fun.
Wow.
Something that's just coming to Michigan now is called stand-up paddleboarding, SUP, stand-up paddleboarding. It's like a surfboard, but you stand up and you paddle down the river across
okay.
the lake. I have not done that yet. I
All
have
right.
some people that are working with me on that.
I can't see myself staying upright. So how do you stay upright
it's,
on that?
It's a
seatbelt.
It's all about balance.
You click
balance.
It. You click
balance.
It or tick it
yeah.
on the waterway.
That's a new one. Pick it. Somebody this morning, I was listening to these kids as they were going out in the water, and one of the kids tried to reach around. He was in a kayak. He was trying to reach around for a seatbelt. He said, "Where's the seatbelt?" This was this blind school, you know, they
okay.
were out there trying to get acquainted with the water.
Sure.
That was at Proud Lake State Park. And they just, they're so used to that. But, you know, they, again, the smile on their face, that's what makes it worth it
right.
to me, is to know that they're out there because somebody has told them that the outdoors is there to enjoy.
Right, right. I know you do some trail walks and identification programs and that sort of thing, you know, find the state bird, find the state tree, that sort of thing. Can you tell me about any of those?
One of my biggest sources of information is the metro parks. You know, there's 11 metro parks in southeast Michigan, and each one of them has a nature center. Each one of them has people that are trained to teach you about the outdoors. Kensington is my favorite place to go, Kathy, too. The nature center there, you can go out there and you can hold your hand out with bird seeds. The birds will come in and land on your hands and feet. What an awesome experience that
wow.
would be for somebody that's never been in the woods.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And the hiking trails are just, there are so many hiking trails in southeast Michigan, and a lot of them, you have to go to the park and you have to ask somebody where the trails.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing are the immense bike trail system that's connecting all the communities in southeast Michigan. There's a movement where you can actually ride a bicycle from the east side of Detroit all the way to the west side and downriver. And most of those trails are connected now.
And I'm thinking if it's true that Kensington is the most visited metro park
mm-hmm.
in Michigan, isn't that true?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
It's definitely one of the biggest, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. Last weekend, we were involved with Concert of Colors, and with the freeway being closed, I had to get a little creative, and I did see a lot of the marked roads for bicycle paths that I hadn't noticed, and maybe. Is it new this year?
Well, there's a movement. It's getting more and more all the time. Yeah. There's a definite movement in the state of Michigan with the support financially of a lot of different people to get the bike trails. The biking, is an awesome thing. It's just an awesome way to get around.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I was going to mention, Kathy alluded to a few minutes ago, the back roads of Oakland County, the back roads of Michigan, or the back roads of the United States, probably the most awesome thing to do. You can explore those back roads by bike, hiking, or of course by car.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some of the most unique things. And even here in Southeast Michigan, you could start from the studio here and drive within an hour, and you would be out in some of the most awesome farm country, wilderness, parks,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
It's just amazing. So the back roads, I keep saying I'm going to write a book about the back roads of America, because that's where the real joy is, not the freeways. Now, we're getting away from the outdoors, you know. The outdoors is when you're outside, but I keep my windows open all the time. If I have to be in the car, I open my windows.
Right.
Year-round.
Okay. Peter, tell us about some of the other projects you're working with where the kids are, learning things and identifying things. And I'm sure they ask you about some of the plant life and what have you.
Yep, just work with the kids and with, the hiking and everything. It's
mm-hmm.
it's great to use my own knowledge from, Boy Scouts and everything
right.
to show these kids that, they might not have learned or have the opportunity to go to a class.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I get to share that with, hikes, showing them different birds, different species. A lot of people haven't seen poison ivy before, so it's great to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
It's always
hopefully so, ahead of time.
Yeah. It's always good to know what poison ivy is. So.
Yeah.
Leaves of three, leave it be.
You yep. got it.
Yes.
Tell me about the child, whether handicapped or not, or challenged or not, pardon
mm-hmm.
me, that probably made the strongest impression on you as a person?
Probably when one of the first times I actually had a handicapped person. When you get them in the boat, they're asking all the questions and everything, but you just have them listen, especially
mm-hmm.
the blind people.
Mm-hmm.
When you put them in the boat, and you're pushing the boat from the ground, you hear that gravel noise,
mm-hmm.
and then you tell them to just listen. And then as soon as you put it in the water, it's just calm.
Right.
And the look on their face is priceless when they hear that.
Oh.
Because it's just, now you're on the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're experiencing everything.
Yeah.
So that was probably the best moment.
Who made an impression on you?
Hmm.
I'm sure.
Well, I'm still fresh with the kids that said,
yeah.
should we go to a Tigers game or should we stay at
yes.
the park? So
yes.
I'm kind of thinking right now that's where I'm doing my happy dance.
Gotcha.
And thanks for asking.
Gotcha. Oh, share with the listeners about the dance, too.
The Cupid Shuffle?
Yeah.
Yes,
dancing kids.
Our Lewis and Clark kids have come up with the Cupid Shuffle as the name for their tribal dance. So we'll be having someone come out and videotape it as we do the music. So we're real excited about that. And it's been a lot of fun. I think I've been most impressed with what's going on is the kids are learning and they're having fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having fun doing it, learning outside. It doesn't get any better than that.
Right, right. Alan, you've got a bucket of stories, I know.
Well, I think, I'm just thinking to sum everything up in my mind, is that when I went to schools, I said it was not a positive experience for the most part because I wanted to be outside. I think maybe subconsciously my desire is to take as much of that education that everybody is required to have to get to be an adult, to put it in the experiential value outside.
Mm-hmm.
And through Farmington Schools, they are doing more and more of that, where they're taking a class, putting a group of kids through the regular traditional training, taking another group of kids going through that same grade, and wherever possible, taking the kids outside.
Mm-hmm.
Without even being an educator, I understand that those kids are going to remember a lot longer by experiencing it rather than reading in a book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the most powerful thing to me, is that we're a part of a movement. And this movement, by the way, is nationwide. There's a lot of interest in what's going on here in Michigan because, the education, wherever you go, can be used, the outdoors can be used as a tool for that. And,
mm-hmm.
Whether you're in Arizona, in California, whether you're in southern Florida, or up in Alaska,
right.
you can still learn from the outdoors.
Well, the bottom line, too, so far as the kids go, is we have a huge problem in this country with kids who are not keeping up in school. The grades are not where they should be. The science, the math, all that business is a problem. And a lot of that gets back to the way they feel. And a lot of them are obese, early onset diabetes, and high blood pressure in kids.
Let's talk about issues like mental, emotional problems
mm-hmm.
that kids are having. Going back to Richard Lewis' book,
He was talking about the spike in pharmaceuticals to a certain age group. Do you know what age group that is? Treating them for anxiety and depression. It's preschoolers.
I was going to say it's very young.
If you don't have a child that is foundationally solid as a preschooler,
right,
how can you possibly expect to move them through the educational program and expect them to have any success in that area?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the answer is definitely not a pill. But don't get me going on that whole tangent.
It may be. From a counseling perspective, I will tell you sometimes medication needs to be prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
Do I feel that it should be the first thing that comes out of your bag? No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe counseling, medication, the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of options that we have that we can utilize.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoors being a really nice kind of option.
Right. Right, yeah, and there's so much to see. I've had the same backyard for a number of years, and I do a lot of work in that yard, and every now and again, I'll see something different. I'll see something from a different angle, see something that's growing that wasn't growing before. Just it's there, and that's in a relatively confined space, all things considered.
I can hear your passion for the outdoors.
Yes.
Yes, you walk the talk, don't you?
I do.
I can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it on your face.
Quick comment about we mentioned obesity in kids. It's a
mm-hmm.
nationwide epidemic.
Yes, it is.
We've just now touched that to our medical connections where we're going to use the outdoors, you know, walking, running, whatever, to get these kids early on.
Mm-hmm.
There's a movement in some of the schools now we're working with where you take a pedometer and you put a pedometer on a kid,
mm-hmm.
and they have a contest about who's going to put the most miles on that pedometer in their everyday life.
Right.
It's an awesome thing, because then you just, every time you're thinking, I get a pedometer right now, when I'm sitting here, it's not going. So if I had a goal, maybe I'm not an outdoor person yet, but if I've got a goal, and if we make part of the use of that pedometer, they have to be outside to do it.
Right.
Then maybe we're coming in the back door to do the same, come up with the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're using pedometers as sort of a way to get people, hey, let's have some competition out there.
Right,
you know,
right.
If you walk 10, 20 miles in the next so many days, we're going to reward you with something.
Right. Now, the projects, we need to wrap up on a little bit. This went by so fast. But we'll get the contact information out there again, but these are volunteer type groups that we're talking about, and are you looking for help in any way? Are you looking for people to volunteer their services in any way for any of these projects?
Every time I do a program or talk to a group or I'm in the paper, I say the same thing. The sky's the limit, because every time somebody new comes on board to help us, they bring within them all their people and their experiences of life.
Mm-hmm.
So we would love to have more people of all ages. It can be, I mean, Peter's sitting at this table. I'm in awe that I have a 16-year-old next to me that I look up to as much as if he was a president of a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
He has the same passion that we do. You know, Kathy Martin and I have been friends for years. I'm tickled to have her on my team. But there are people of all walks of life out there that want to. There's a woman that is working for the closed head injury, and I can't come up with the exact title, called Head Injury Association of Michigan. She heard about this, and she said, would you be willing to work with us? Because there are people who have closed head injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't something you see. You know, people can be normal, but there's issues with them. So we're going to be working with them now. So, but she brings to the table a whole world of experience in that area alone. You know,
right,
so.
Right.
And from an after-school program perspective, we love to partner with area businesses to provide us funding to keep this program concrete
mm-hmm.
and growing, and they could contact Todd Lippa through the city of Farmington Hills, and he'd be happy to work with them.
Okay, all right. And Alan, your telephone again?
My telephone is 248-561-8274. That number can be called for any reason. If you want to talk to me, you know, people say, how can you give out your personal cell phone number? Well, that's how passionate I am about this. And the funding thing is something that Kathy mentioned. That's probably the hardest thing to live with, is how do we turn down a group of kids that want to come out to the park if they can't even afford the bus ride out there.
Right.
And Lynn, I'd like to give you Todd's phone number.
Okay.
It is 248-473-1841.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be reached at tlipa, L-I-P-A, at fhgov.com.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And Alan, thank you so much for coming in and sharing. And Peter,
thank you.
You are an amazing guy.
Thank you.
And the whole Eagle Scout thing is very impressive. And Kathy, thank you so much for sharing your stories. And again, you are listening to Impact. And next month, come back on the fourth Tuesday of the month, and Ride for Kids will be here. It'll be 2 days after this ride, the Michigan ride, and hopefully we're going to have some really great news for you. Remembering, too, that if you are interested in being part of the Ride for Kids, there's still time if you want to call Jean Hunt. Her number is 734-981-4814. Thank you again, everybody, for coming in.
Thank you.
I have a solar system inside of me. The moons are my favorite planets carved from tears. I have stained the stars, stunted their growth, and fed them sugar until they bounce themselves into slivers that each fidgets to its own gyrating beat. Nighttime and the sky is mine. I have been carried into nightmares, then into dreams that flap and fly their wings madly when I want to wake. And in the morning when I begin to miss my white fire night sky. Nighttime, 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 the sky is mine. To make mud pies from the quintessential particles of Earth, and travel back up, travel back up to midnight, and the sky is mine. Night sky, I scatter through daylight to make mud pies from the quintessential particles of Earth. And travel back up, I miss my nighttime, I miss my nighttime, I miss my nighttime sky. Nighttime, and the sky is mine. Nighttime, nighttime, and the sky is mine. Back up to midnight, nighttime, and the sky is mine. I have a solar system inside of me, with the moons of my favorite planets carved from tears. I've stained the stars, stunted the growth, and fed them sugar till they bound themselves into slivers that each fizzes to its own gyrating beat. I have been carried into nightmares and then into dreams that fly and flap their wings. Mainly when I want to wake up in the morning, when I begin to miss my wildfire night sky. Scatter through daylight to make mud pies from the quintessential particles of Earth. And travel back up to midnight, midnight. Nighttime in the sky. Nighttime in the sky, in the sky, in the sky. Nighttime and the sky is mine.
WHFR Dearborn.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track. To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of. In places you never imagined yourself being. Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see. Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change.